I'll be preaching from Matthew chapter 13, if you want to find a way to that scripture. Matthew 13, particularly starting in verse 24. And I'll be reading between verses 24 and 30, and then there will be some other scriptures. And I'll tell you what that is. Verses 24 and 30. In Matthew chapter 13, and this is what God's word has to say. Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." I don't know how many of you garden. I garden, and I enjoy that. I enjoy watching things grow and gathering from the garden. And this sermon is exactly about this, about a garden. We're going to see in more detail the kind of garden that Jesus was talking about. Now I direct your attention to verses 36 through 43. Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." I love gardening. I hope you do too. It's really a good thing to do. You get to not only watch things grow, but you also get to eat whatever comes out of the garden. But my message, the title of it, is A Weedy Garden. I don't know about you, but not only do good things grow in the garden, but weeds. I've got something here I want to show. I thought I could have the kids come forward, but we won't. Everybody's scared of the virus. We got to wait. I pulled up some weeds out of my garden. But guess what? I also pulled out a little bit of the good stuff. I don't know if you can see the beans, but there's a few beans on it, and there's a lot of weeds here. I'll clean this up later. I wanted you to see that. It's something we can identify with and we understand. The garden has many different things we can think about. Let me introduce you to the people or to the things that are involved in the garden. I've got at least 9 things. I'm sure there could be more, but let's think about the farmer. The farmer is Jesus. Jesus is the farmer, and he has a garden. He's planting in a field. What is the field? He explained in his word, the field is the world. For you and I, it's Fairview and everybody around us and anyone else outside of Fairview, the world. The dirt. When I see the dirt, I understand that you've got to work the dirt, make rows in the dirt. That involves work. Any of you, again, who have ever done any gardening, you understand this. Some of you, or many of you probably, have tractors. That's good. But poor people like me, we have tillers. And I use a tiller. And those who are poorer than the poor, like me, those that don't have a tiller use a shovel. It's hard work. I placed in here, this is not in this passage, but I placed it in here because I do gardening, the fertilizer. I use fertilizer a little bit. What is fertilizer? It's something that enhances growth. And I'd like to think that the fertilizer for God's garden is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enhances God's work. Without Him, we can't do anything. The seed. The seed, listen carefully, is Christians. You and I are seeds. The seed is also, in other places, attributed to the Word of God. You and I, as Christians, live by the Word of God. I thank the Lord that he's planted us in the world to do something good for him and for others. That is to share Jesus Christ with others as Lord and Savior. Believe it or not, there are probably more lost people than there are Christians. I know I witnessed to one of the businessmen here in town. He's as lost as a goose. He doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, I shared Jesus Christ with him. The Lord wanted me to at least witness to him Jesus Christ. It's important to do that. You may have neighbors who are lost. If you have an opportunity to talk with them, talk about how good God is to you. Talk about Jesus Christ and how good he is to us all. The weeds are the lost people. The lost people are those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We heard someone this morning talk about coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. There are a lot of people that do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. There may be one person here today who has never submitted their life to Jesus Christ. My hope and my prayer is that you today will publicly surrender your life to Jesus. Give your heart and your life to him while you can. One other thing I'll mention about weeds. All of us at one time or another were weeds. We were lost until we turned to Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we don't need to be too quick in our judgment of the lost. All that the lost have to look forward to is fire. And it's not regular fire, it's eternal, ever-burning fire. A fire of judgment. Let's talk about the harvest. I've been harvesting here a little bit out of my garden. So what does it mean to the harvest? For Jesus sharing this story in the Bible about the harvest, he's talking about the end of all ages. The end of the world. Some of you might think, well, that's just thousands of years yet to occur. I have news for you. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen today. We need to think about that. And it should encourage us even more to share Jesus Christ while we can with the lost. As we think about the harvest, I want us to think about the harvesters. The harvesters in this passage are the angels of God. the angels of God will be used to gather in everything. All of God's people and all of the lost. God uses these angels, and He will indeed harvest everyone. Those that are saved will be harvested unto the Lord, will be brought into His very presence. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to physically meeting Jesus Christ. It will be a great, great experience. I've already met Him in my heart, in my life, and I know He's real, and I know He's doing things for me and my family and for us all. And the last thing I'll mention is the enemy. It shouldn't be hard to, the scriptures come right out and tell us who the enemy is, and that's the devil. The devil used to be an angel in heaven, but he got full of himself thinking he should be the one in control. God would certainly not allow that, and he was cast out of heaven. And his days are numbered. The Lord will deal with him in a final way. Now, these were the characters, the nine different, if you will, characters in this story. But I want us to focus on some things, at least five things. Number one, there is an enemy. The enemy has hostile power. The devil has hostile power, and he's always seeking an evil way of doing what he does. And he's trying his best to destroy the good seed. And finally, I want to mention that he looks similar to the wheat, but he's not wheat. He's weeds. Now, it's hard to distinguish the weeds from the wheat. I wonder, if any farmer here can tell me, the weeds that Jesus talked about were either tares or the bearded darnel plant. Do we have bearded darnel plants in our gardens? That's a good question. I don't think so, but maybe we do. I would just like a farmer to set me straight on it. Okay. The bearded darnel, in its early stages, looks just like wheat. It cannot be uprooted like I showed you. It cannot be uprooted because its roots intertwine with the wheat. The third point's a good point. It cannot harm the wheat. And finally, fourthly, it will be cast out in the harvest, cast out of the harvest to be burned. Thirdly, I've already mentioned we don't need to be too quick to judge. Don't be hasty in our judgment. We need to be aware of their presence. We need to bear witness to the lost that are all around us. And we need to always remember one time we were lost. Fourthly, judgment is coming. The Bible indicates to us the time it will come. At the end of the ages. And by the way, when it comes, it will come with consequences. Those that are saved, well, we'll be with the Lord. We'll be fine. But those that are lost, they'll be cast into the fiery burning pit of hell, forever lost. What a sad thing. And the final point I want to make, the fifth one, is only one person has the right to judge, and that's God. God alone can discern the good from the bad. He can tell what is genuinely saved individual or a person who is indeed lost. And God alone can see a man and his life. He knows every one of us. He knows everything about us. I want to encourage you, lost man or woman, boy or girl, if you've never turned to Jesus, turn to Him now while you can. Turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I can truly say that by turning to Him, it will change your life dramatically. It will save you and give you purpose for living. And it will help you to understand what it means to serve the Lord. It will help you to what it means to really love the world, love people, care about them, share Jesus. Well, I know I need to continue working in my garden. If any of you don't have anything to do, just come on over. I'll give you something to do. I thank you for your time to just allow me to share with you. Apparently, I didn't need an hour. I'll be down front while the instrumentalist plays. And if anyone has made a decision, maybe you are lost and you just, right now you can pray, Lord Jesus, save me. please come into my life. And I thank you, Lord. And if you're a saved person, but you realize that you've been out of step with Jesus at times, I know I have, you can pray, Lord, forgive me and help me to continue my walk with you, Lord Jesus. I love you and I thank you.